This is Mark Stein, everybody, and it's time now to talk once again with the Griot Eye Youth Film and Cultural Festival happening this Saturday at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. And once again in the studio, Baba Tunde Salam, who's a partner with Griot Eye Festival, filmmaker and organizer, and Rashtre Sabira, who is director of the African Youth Academy and also an organizer of Griot Eye Festival. Good to have you both back.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us here.
How are you all doing?
Good.
And we ran into each other the other day.
Yeah.
That was fortuitous, but we knew we were doing this anyway,
exactly.
Right?
at the Reginald Lewis, so it was the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me what's happening this year. I mean, every year this seems to grow and expand.
Yeah. Yes, right. So the Griot Eye Youth Film and Culture Festival, this is its fifth year, and it has grown every year. It started out very humbly in Park Heights at a community center, and we outgrew that space and have graduated all the way up to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. This is going to be a showcase that is really exciting. It's youth-led and will be composed of youth films and cultural performances. So there'll be some African drum and dance. There'll be some Capoeira Angola, which is an African-Brazilian fight and dance.
They have a studio in Baltimore now, right?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. They've had it for a bit. Yeah.
And I'm a part of, so, you know, shout out to
you
the
Capoeira. You do Capoeira?
Yeah.
All right. Look out. Stay away from you.
But also there'll be some social theater from Womb Work. There will be some poetry from a Baltimore citywide youth poetry team, some monologues, a little bit of everything. So this is going to be, again, a youth-led event that will be fresh and innovative in the language and the style of young people, and all in celebration of Black History Month.
Baba Tunde, take us back to the beginning of this. You just in Park Heights, but curious about just how this all came about, even before you opened in Park Heights.
So I can't speak to the exact inception. That would be Trey right there. But I will say that I remember being at the first one. That was right when we got back from Africa in 2010.
Oh, that's this Ethiopian Ghanaian trip. Was that
exactly? I went to Ghana the first year.
Since they've
gone to Ethiopia and Ghana.
Right.
And so we really were just showcasing a lot of the films that we had worked on that we used to fundraise to help youth go to on that trip. Some of them had to do with, of course, issues of, you know, Are You a Slave? That was one of the films, and it's actually one that I know people like the most or remember vividly, just because it explores some of that, the idea of not just being a physical incarceration, but we're talking about mental thought. You know, a lot of Baltimore, you know, youth really don't see their story outside of these confines of the 13 by, 17 square miles of Baltimore. And so... Mm-hmm. Really,
and when you say it like that, man, it makes it seem so small.
Yeah, because it is small.
Right? It is small, no, but it just when you say it like that, you're 13 by 17.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. I think the festival was really about helping young people to see beyond these this almost invisible confines and validating our story beyond, talking about empowerment, talking about, artwork that is remembers the African diaspora. That's so important.
So what happened? So what? I'm curious about the filmmakers and films you're bringing this year. What are you doing this year?
Yeah. So Griot's Eye obviously will be showcasing our films. We have programs with schools and community organizations that we do throughout the year, and so all of our films will be showcased. But we're also going to be showcasing New Lens has a film, Wide Angle Youth Media has a film in it, Digital Harbor High School has a film in it.
Oh wow!
Also Augusta Fells Savage Institute of Visual Arts. Has a film. Oh, and Youth Resiliency Institute, the new organization started by Navasha Daya and Fanon Hill.
Yeah, right.
They have a youth film. We've really did our homework in trying to reach out to organizations, some of the leading art organizations that are working with young people in advocacy in various ways and in arts in various ways. And also Muse 360 will be showing a film. That's about Sharyana's
piece,
Rose.
Right.
So we've got a good collection of organizations that represent critical thinking youth, not just making the videos that we want to laugh at and just kind of be entertained, but they are also, showing their critical dialogue, bringing up issues in Baltimore that are important to them and addressing them in an artistic way.
And making them fun, you know?
And making them fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I would say about the festival year after year is that I consistently have a good time, and it's just a very, it doesn't feel like I'm going to a lecture. I'm going to, obviously think critically, but at the same time, this is in a very stimulating way,
Yeah. So are there films from outside Baltimore coming?
No, they're all Baltimore.
They're all Baltimore
films,
right?
And the Griot's Eye is always centered on Baltimore. So we, you know, keep our footpath very narrowly within Baltimore because this opportunity, you know, one of the things that the festival's purpose is to, you know, present an alternative narrative to the mainstream narrative we hear and see of Baltimore City youth. We all know of, you know, the right. series The Wire, and we, you know, we have these images of Baltimore City youth, and so this festival is purposely trying to combat that image by showing a positive and conscious portrayal of young people through their artwork.
I mean, that's so... A couple of things popped in my head as you both were describing this, what you were describing just now. I mean, that to me is such a critical piece to kind of give people a vision of what things are, what they could be, and from the lens of young people themselves, because we don't ever see that lens in a popular way really pushed in this community, especially from young children of color, young black children. We don't see that
right.
at all.
So that's often right. young people are spoken for instead of doing the speaking. So I think that's one of the strengths of the festival.
And if I could add on, too, one big thing, especially for urban youth, is having them go through the exercise of being a media producer, mm-hmm. not just a media consumer. You know, a lot of media messages are really directed at these young people, whether it be through their smartphones, through the internet, iPad, all of these things and devices that they have. And most of the content is produced by, you know, folks outside of the community or folks that are maybe not representing that youth urban culture. And so this is one of the few opportunities for them to speak for themselves and to speak in a way that's using digital technology. So it's closing the digital divide. It's artistic. It's fun. It's witty. And we're doing the best that we can to combine all of those into a narrative that's positive and uplifting for Baltimore.
So have you all seen some of the films the young people have done?
Yes.
Can you talk about some of them? Describe what people are going to see. I think it'd be important for people to hear what's inside.
I'm really excited about one that Wide Angle Youth Media has submitted called Slaves to Fashion. And it is it's a wonderful piece that is poetic, and it connects the fashion industry to Africa in the sense of all the various products that come from Africa that we wear on a daily basis. We, you know, have them on our smartphones and various devices, and we don't know where they came from. And
right.
so it makes that point through talking about fashion and everyone always trying to look fly and all the things that they have on that they, you know, attribute value to mostly are coming from Africa. And so I thought that was just really well done. Also really excited about the piece from Youth Resiliency Institute. Their piece is entitled Habari Gani Baltimore, and Habari Gani is, you know, a Swahili expression used during Kwanzaa time. Just really just means what's the news, what's happening. And so it's kind of a youth outlook at what's happening in Baltimore. They're answering that question, Habari Gani, what's going on in Baltimore, but through the lens of young people again. And so they're talking about people and organizations and issues that are helping Baltimore youth as well as harming them, and make some, you know, critical analysis about what should be done. And, of course, I have to toot the horn of Griot's Eye also. we got a piece that I'm really excited to show called Don't Leave Daddy. And it's about absentee fathers, but it's told from the standpoint of young men and young men speaking about what their father and their father's absence means in their life and their messages to other young men. So I think it's just powerful that it's young men speaking to young men about fatherhood, and this is something that they came up with. Again, this wasn't the adult saying, this is what you're going to speak on, this is what Baltimore needs to hear. This is Baltimore City youth, young people, taking the decision to talk about fatherhood in a responsible way, and I'm excited to show them all.
Wow. So anything grab you, especially, Baba Tunde?
I know we're planning on showing another film by Wide Angle that I believe it had to do with Distractions was one of the pieces.
And I
remember I liked that one. It was another piece. It was good.
But maybe we'll talk about the New Lens.
So Blackonomics. Now, that is a piece that I did work on quite a bit. And we shot it. We spent an incredible amount of time, over a year and a half, working on this piece, really talking about what happened to black economics post-integration and the story of how black business has either faltered or strengthened since post-integration. And, for example, one of the questions that we asked first was just the concept of blackness. Are you black? What is black? Can you define that for us? And then, for example, and then going further is what makes a black business and what makes you either choose or not choose to be a customer to a black business. And it was a lot of different discussions that we had in it. And they ended up breaking it into a series. So I really think that is going to be something strong.
You were behind this film?
I spent a lot of time filming and really coming up with the concept, me and a few other people.
So how long is the day?
From 12 to 5 at the Reginald Lewis Museum. And it will be 3 blocks of cultural performances interspersed with 2 blocks of films.
Wow. So this is, it's really very powerful, interesting to me that you all have done this for this period of time, that you've created this piece that has just grown and become something. The idea, I wonder if you could see this, and I don't mean not at its zenith, that's the wrong word, but if you see this festival in terms of what effect it might have on this city. I mean, the idea that you posit about not just being consuming film, consuming media, but actually making your own media, and where you think that could go.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a really
short... You got to plug, pay.
What do you say?
I was saying, you got to do a small plug.
Yeah, I'll give you a very short story to kind of bring this.
Sure.
My background, I got into filmmaking primarily after a journey I took to Africa. Immediately I was overwhelmed with this anger. I felt I had been lied to by the media all of my life, and what I was seeing in front of me was so contrary to the media images that I felt it was really important to bring it to film because, you're seeing the testimony, you're hearing the word sound, film combines so much of visual and audio of a person's essence that I wanted to put that on camera. And so, to bring it full forward to what you're saying, we're doing this with young people in Baltimore and doing it so they can tell their story, but also so that they can develop a sustainable income for themselves. And so, as Baba Tunde was alluding to, we have now, through the inspiration of the Griot's Eye Film Festival, started a project in Park Heights called Project Pay, in which young people are getting trained in professional arts such as film and photography, graphic art, and web design, but doing it also from the standpoint of developing small-scale freelance businesses that can be viable ways for these young people to develop sustainable income for themselves. And so that's, the direction we're moving in now with the Griot's Eye, and from the inspiration of seeing young people being media producers is now making the shift to how can this have an economic component? How can this, be something that can create some stability in their life? And how can it open further doors for their future?
So the films, these are primarily docs? Are they all docs?
No, they're a mixture of music video type to some that I would say are kind of skit and, narrative to some documentary. There's a wide variety of types.
Yeah.
Has anybody leapt into a serious dramatic piece yet? A short dramatic film on your at Griot's Eye?
Yeah, well, the one I was saying.
Yeah, yeah. No. Oh, actually, one of the first pieces we did was a dramatic piece. Are You a Slave is definitely a drama. But we haven't done a feature-length drama piece yet. No.
Nothing feature-length, but the piece I was saying by Augusta Fell Savage, Institute of Visual Arts, called Don't Leave Daddy. It's a dramatic piece. It's about fatherhood, but it's a storyline involving actors. And after the film, then there's like some interviews. So it kind of goes from a narrative skit to documentary. But we love and we support and we see the brilliance in all of genres of films of young people. And so this festival is really about, again, celebrating the African diasporan communities here in Baltimore. And so any of the films that are speaking to these issues in a way that's culturally affirmative, we're screening them.
So just for our listeners, just hearing the two of you here talking about this great festival coming up tomorrow, Griot's Eye, what do Ross Trey and Baba Tunde do when in the rest of the year? What are your lives like?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. We're both currently right now developing a summer program for young people that will be aimed at high school students, and it will be a pipeway to help them get into college-level media and journalism programs. And so we're looking to find a place for that. We would love for it to be at Morgan, but we're looking around as other places. And, you know, that's one of the things that's in development. Also, you know, we're still involved with taking young people to Africa, as we do annually every summer. And so we're looking to do a documentary covering that as well. One was done in 2007. Actually, it was an award-winning film that really helped the program, you know, get noticed. But that was 7 years ago, and I was in Atlanta. We feel now it's time for Baltimore to tell its story of young people who venture out of Baltimore all the way to Africa, and then with their eyes being opened, return to Baltimore with this new consciousness and to follow and follow that story and see how that goes.
Babatunde.
Well, as a student here at Morgan,
you're a junior now, right?
Junior, senior, who knows?
Somewhere in that somewhere in that world, right?
Right. What I definitely working on developing a vision for how to make not just the sustaining a film for not just myself but for others. So that is definitely one of the plans.
So how many people do you expect to have to come to Resonant Flows?
Thousands.
Someone's listening to us. Thousands.
Yeah,
we had over 600 last year, and
really?
Every year it is grown. So Baltimore City, we're expecting you to keep breaking the record. So
wow.
We need you to come out in full force.
I mean, in fact, you know, this to me, I see the trajectory of this being one of the premier film festivals in Baltimore year after year. So, I mean, it's already starting to set the precedent.
So, the films you're talking about are films that have to be made inside the city in the community.
Oh, yeah. All of them are right? Baltimore City films, Baltimore City filmmakers, Baltimore City youth. Yeah, we're all about this city. Yeah.
It should be fascinating. It's always a major event because you have all these things happening between the live performing arts and the film and discussions.
Yeah,
it's a new look. I mean, I don't typically see too much capoeira at the film festivals I attend. So I mean, I just think that that's a unique blend of cultural arts.
Yeah, capoeira is a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah,
when people do it right, it's really thing to watch. It really is a beautiful thing to watch.
That's right.
If people have not seen this capoeira, so you're doing it, when you do the capoeira, you're doing it with drums and
oh, yeah, we're bringing the instruments and we're doing it with the young people. So you'll be seeing people as young as my son is 4 years old up there doing this thing, you know. And young people always have a way of bringing out the smiles, you know, as my grandma used to say, you know, she'd say, my medicine is the laughter of young people. And so this is an intergenerational event. You will see all different ages. And coexisting, you know, great and very peacefully. And, again, celebrating our heritage and culture.
And for folks just as an aside who don't know what capoeira is it's an ancient martial arts form from Angola, from West Africa, that came here with the enslaved people and was kind of kept alive as a very secret weapon.
Yeah.
And as a spiritual base as well. So,
absolutely. And,
yeah.
It includes music as well.
Right.
Has some aspects of dance in it.
Right.
Has definitely some aspects of fighting, martial arts, has some spirituality in it. It's very, very beautiful to see.
Well, this is exciting. So tomorrow, on Saturday, Griot's IU Film and Culture Festival, 12 to 5 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum downtown.
Yep, February 14th.
15th.
This Saturday.
So it's going to be a great day, and you should come out and see what young people are doing in the city and participate in it and get inspired by it and have an incredible afternoon. And so I want to thank both these men, Russ, Trey Subira, and Babatunde Salam, for being here in the studio once again.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you all here. Good luck
thank
tomorrow. You're listening to your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And on our way to break, we're hearing Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone, which was certified gold on this day in 1969.